Good morning. So let me ask you, does the cross have the final word? It's awesome. It's awesome. Well, if you are visiting with us, we're really glad that you're here. We're glad that you are our guest. Hope you feel the love of God's people and the presence of His Spirit. I want to invite you to look in the seat pocket in front of you. If you're our guest, there is a card with a blue stripe at the top that says guest, and we'd love for you to fill that out. You're not required to do that, obviously, but would love to have you do that. Would love to get to know you. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and would love to meet you. I have a free gift for our guests, so hopefully you'll come out there and we can get to know each other a little bit better. Last week, I used a prop for the children's sermon. You remember? Anybody here last week? Remember what I used? I used a banana, a couple of bananas. I had a rotten banana, and I had a pristine banana. Anybody remember that? Yeah, and then I kind of used it in my... Well, at the end of the service, I went to the foyer and greeted some people and came back in here to gather up my stuff. Someone had eaten my banana. Now, I didn't know who it was. I had two or three on the list, and if you know who you are, I had two or three that I thought might have done it. But what this person forgot is we have installed cameras all over our church. There is someone sweating right now. Go ahead, Arliss, Lee, show us what we got here. Wait, look, that looks like Robert Mills. No. Don't do it, Robert. Don't do it. Oh, it's awful. And now he's looking for someone to brag about it too. I can tell. Now, we have more. Arliss, I'm going to cut us right there. I know you have more there. But let me tell you, here's what happened. Someone squealed on Robert Monday and told me. So I texted Robert and I said, "You owe me a banana." And he said, "Who gave me up?" And here's what I found on my desk this morning. That's worse than the bad one I used last week, Robert. You didn't do it? We have cameras, remember, Robert. Yeah. Golly, man. Bunch of heathens coming around here. If you're fairly new to our church, I say this every once in a while. Did you know that it's allowed to laugh in church? Man, I tell you, we as God's people, it should be fun to be God's people. Robert, I forgive you. Yeah, I know you were really sweating that, weren't you, that I was forgetting to forgive you. Banana thief you are. Yeah. All right. We're going to try to transition into God's holy word here. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So be careful what you do in our church, because I've told y'all that to keep our children safe and to keep us safe, we have cameras. Yes, we do. All right, Galatians 5. I'm going to skip around a little bit and skip a few verses, but we're going to start in verse 13. Galatians 5:13. "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Verse 16. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." Verse 19. "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious." I'll say that again. "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And here's a checklist: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. In other words, what he's saying is, I could go on and on. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Suddenly got real, didn't it? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray. Well, Spirit, we just read about you. We welcome you. We ask you to be here in our presence. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to stir our hearts. We ask you to speak to us. Spirit, I have nothing to say that's of any value. It's not of you. We ask you to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm on chapter 5, as we just read parts of chapter 5 on the series Lessons from Galatians. Lessons from Galatians. And today's message is Live by the Spirit. There is an old Indian legend that I've heard this story several times. I don't know if there's truth to it or if it's just something that was made up. But there was an old Indian grandfather, and he's walking through the forest with his grandson. And as he's walking through, he's teaching his grandson, and he says, "Grandson, there's like two wolves inside of you, and they're constantly in battle with one another. And one wolf is filled with hatred and anger and discord and jealousy and rage and all of these different things. And the other one is filled with love and compassion and grace and mercy and joy and all these things." And so as they're walking through the forest and he's teaching this grandson, the grandson looks up and says, "Grandfather, which one wins?" And the grandfather looks down and says, "The one you feed. The one you feed." You know, that may just be an old legend, that story, but it's very profound when it comes to Scripture. Scripture talks throughout Scripture. We're talking about this battle that's happening. And so that leads me, and we're going to jump right into unpacking this Scripture a little bit. Number one, we are in a battle between our flesh and the Spirit. Between our flesh and the Spirit. The Scripture here, verse 17, "For the sinful nature, the flesh, desires what is contrary to the Spirit." So there's this battle raging. "And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want." Paul, the writer of Galatians, also wrote Romans. And in chapter 7 of Romans, Paul talks about his own struggle. He talks about how the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. And there it is again, this battle going on. And he comes to the end of chapter 7 defining this battle. And he says, "Who will save me from this body of death?" He's this struggle. "Who will save me from this struggle? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ," is his response. So there's this battle. And this scripture in Galatians defines in stark contrast these two, the characteristics of these two pieces, the flesh and the Spirit. So let me kind of just go through that list again that we found in verse 19 and 20 and 21. So the sexual nature, that sexual immorality is the first one. The sinful nature of the flesh is sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. You know, as we read down through this, I don't know about you, but we have a tendency to kind of go, oh, I'm good with that. I'm good with that one. I'm good with that one. I'm good. And then it gets down, discord, hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Now, we're checking in our mind mentally, check, I'm good, on some of these, perhaps. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Several years ago, I had a man that I knew that I don't know why, but he singled out this one man who was very, very high profile in our community, very high profile Christian, and did a lot of great things for the Lord and utilized his wealth in really great ways. But for whatever reason, this other person that I knew would come to me on two or three occasions, came to me and go, you know, man, how come I don't have money like that guy? How come God hadn't given me that? You say, hey, you know, I don't have money like that either. I mean, you have things that he doesn't have. And about 2 years later, that gentleman got cancer and passed away, the one with the money. And I'm like, I wonder if he still wants to be like that guy. You know, we look at others and we think, oh man, how come I don't have that? How come I don't do that? It's like, man, we're all in this life struggling, aren't we? I mean, if it's not financial, it's health or relational. I mean, there's all sorts of things going on that we struggle. Envy is on the list. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now, contrast that right up against the things of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are what's known as the fruit of the Spirit. And so when we're living by the Spirit, those things ought to be oozing out of us. It doesn't mean you never have a bad day. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It just means that on a regular basis, people ought to be seeing this kind of stuff in us. But if they're seeing that other kind of stuff, then we have surrendered to the sinful nature, the flesh. And it's so, and let me tell you, once you become a Christian, that pursuit of the flesh doesn't stop. It keeps coming at us. And it's like going back to that legend, that Indian legend. It's like, what are we feeding? What are we pressing into? Now, here's what Scripture tells us the results of those, of whichever way we're living. Galatians 5:21 that we just read. Those who live by the sinful nature. Now, notice that he's saying that you live by it. It doesn't mean that it's not saying that you never struggle with any of this stuff. If you live by it, if you surrender to it, it's like, you know, I tell you what, I'm just gonna do it. Kind of the old saying, if it feels good, do it. If we surrender and if we live by the sinful nature, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's not a gospel by works. It just means that if we're living by the flesh, then we probably don't have the Spirit, which is the Spirit. It's faith in Christ filled with His Holy Spirit. That's our ticket to eternity. It goes on in Galatians 6:8, which I'm getting a little bit ahead because we'll look at Galatians 6 next week. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. I mean, it's very clear, Paul is saying, if you surrender to the flesh, if you surrender to this sinful nature, it's not going to work out well. And I see it in as a pastor, I see it all the time. Sometimes our issues, sometimes our struggles in life are just circumstances of life. But many, many times, the struggles in our life, most of it is self-imposed. Anybody seen that besides me? Most of it's self-imposed. It's like, hey, if you're gonna, I'm just saying. Now, don't get me wrong. If you guys have a beer with your supper, don't get me wrong. But if you're gonna drink, you might become an alcoholic. If you become an alcoholic, things ain't gonna work out too well. My dad had, you know, I thought he was ridiculous when I was a young person, but he used to say things like, he'd say, nothing good happens after midnight. Anybody else's dad ever say that? He was right. I see these professional athletes, it's like, well, so-and-so, you know, he had a DUI, and he had a battle in a bar, blah, blah, blah. When did it happen? Oh, it was 1:45 in the morning. Go home, go to bed. If when we indulge a sinful nature, it's going to end up in destruction. Dad used to also say about drinking, my dad was not a drinker, and he would say, you know, son, if you never try it, you're not even going to know what you're missing. Well, I tried it. I don't drink anymore because for me, it just didn't lead to good things in my life. And so I just don't do it. You know, you're not going to hell if you have a beer. Okay, it's all right. Everybody calm down. It speaks of drunkenness, though, and if you're not going to get drunk if you're not drinking anything. I'm just saying, I hadn't been drunk in about 30 years because I just don't drink. It goes on to say that if we live by the sinful nature, we reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Good things happen when we're surrendered to the Spirit. And so, and notice, I love the wording of this, the one who sows, it's something we're doing that sows to please the sinful nature. When we have, when we surrender that sinful nature, when we're sowing into that, we're going to reap destruction. I'm just saying. It's very clear. It's not just in this one passage. It's throughout Scripture. And if we sow into the Spirit, we reap blessings and eternal life. And guess what? For the believer, when does eternal life happen? When we die? Right now. I'm living in eternal life right now. It's never going to end. It started the moment that I accepted Christ. For each of you, as soon as you're filled with the Spirit, it's like you're enjoying eternal life. Now, there's still a struggle in this world. We are in a battle, church. And man, so many times, sometimes our struggles are just circumstantial. You know, we lose a job or we get sick, those sort of things. But so many times, the struggles in our lives are because we have surrendered, we've sown into the sinful nature. Secondly, we are set free from our flesh through Christ. Verse 24 of the passage today, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Almost sounds like the cross has the final word, doesn't it? That almost sounds like that syncs up with your song that you let us in, Trevor. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. In other words, we're no longer victims. We're no longer slaves. Going back to last week's sermon, we're no longer slaves to this sinful nature. No, we've been set free through the Spirit. Romans, again, flipping over to Romans 6:22, Paul says it this way, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, so we're no longer slaves to our flesh, to the sinful nature, we're now slaves to God, we're slaves to righteousness, it says, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. So, man, I said it a while ago, you know, it's okay to laugh and have fun as Christians. I mean, so many times I it drives me crazy, but we think, you know, you got to come into church and everybody has to sit up straight up and do everything, be real contrite. And there's a place for that. But man, that doesn't attract anybody. Joy attracts people. Peace when the world's chaotic, when I guarantee you we'll be reading about some families in El Paso, the contrast of how families respond to this tragedy. There will be families that it's panic. It's just in anger and rage, and that's justified. I get it. But there'll be other families that'll go, you know what? God is good, and God is with us. God will see us through this. That speaks. That will sell. We're set free from our flesh through Christ. And then finally, third point, we are called to live by the Spirit. We are called to live by the Spirit. It's an ongoing thing that we do. It's not just being filled with the Spirit and being saved. And as I've said before, it's not just getting our ticket to heaven where we can cash it in someday. It's like, no, now we're called to be to live by the Spirit. He says it here, verse 13, 16, 25. He says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So when we're pressing in over here to the Spirit, when we're pressing into the Spirit, we won't indulge the sinful nature. You can't do both at the same time. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 6:8 says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There's this battle raging. And it was, I'm telling you guys, at the cross, that's why it drives me crazy. I've told you this before, but I have a Christian brother that was a professor that told me he wasn't sure the cross even happened. I mean, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. How what does it mean to be a Christian if we don't believe in the cross? If we think that's just a metaphor, or if it's a parable, the cross, it was settled. Now we don't have to be slaves to this sinful nature anymore. Now we can be set free with the Spirit and live in the Spirit. And when that when that sinful nature, it's still, that's one of the things I think that the enemy does is he whispers these little thoughts in our ears. It's like, it's okay. Just do that. Just a little. Just do that thing you used to do. Just a little. If we're pressing in over here, we have strength against this. You see what I'm saying? When we're living by the Spirit, the flesh has no hold on us, and we can stand against it. You know. This meal that we had the opportunity to partake of, we do it once a month. Jesus, I've said it so many times, this is a costly meal. Jesus did it so that we would not have to be slaves to the sinful nature anymore. He set us free through his broken body and his shed blood. So as we partake of this meal, remember that it's through his brokenness that we are made whole. And it's through his shed blood that we are set free. I want to invite you to pray with me in your own heart. This meal begins with recognizing that what Christ has accomplished for us, coming to this table as a humble and a repentant people, and not as a perfect people, but as a redeemed people. So I ask you now, just in your own heart, just bow your head and confess your own personal prayer of confession before our holy God. Before we partake this morning, about 2 weeks ago, we had the 50th anniversary of the moonwalk. Remember that? Landing on the moon, Apollo 11. And I think I've shown this years ago, but this is really cool. It helps us, I think, to bring this meal more into perspective for us. Go ahead and show this short video, Lee.
Six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Roger, we got a roll.
Tower clear.
Roger, roll.
Right, coming up 9 minutes.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good. Altitude 4200.
Houston, you're go for landing. Over.
40 feet down, 2.5. Picking up some dust. 30 feet, 2.5 down. Straight shadow. 4 forward. 4 forward, drifting to the right level. 6, down and a half.
30 seconds.
Forward, just dust. Okay. Contact light.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. Houston, Tranquility, over.
Tranquility, Houston, go ahead.
Roger, this is the LEM pilot. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever, wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his or her own way. Over.
Roger, Tranquility Base.
God is the God of all creation, transcends even this world that we live in. If you'd bow your heads with me. Father, thank you for the sacrifice of your son Jesus. We pray that you'd make this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus for us. We ask you to bless them. Bless us as we partake. We are reminded of the sacrifice of the cross. We are reminded of your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.